in his arms and the salt sting of sweat trickling into his eyes. He was aware of hot slashes of blaster grazes along his flanks and of a chunk that had been torn from one thigh by a glancing hit. All these meant less to him than the new vectors of fire as he continued his relentless march and the Jups broke from cover. He was also aware that not all the Jups were shooting. He heard Rankin's desperate orders to cease fire and felt in the force an irrational blood hunger that kept the others squeezing triggers until their weapons began to smoke. A blood hunger fed by the dark. No, not blood hunger. Blood fever. The dark power he had felt gather in the force now rose around him to swallow the stars. It broke over him in a wave that pushed him down and caught him up. And when he felt a hostile presence lunge toward his back, he whirled with effortless speed, and amethyst plasma splashed fire through the long durasteel blade of a knife held in a small hand. A sliced-off piece skittered across the ground, and green energy dropped like an axe for the kill. And stopped, trembling, 1 centimeter above a brown-haired head. Brown hairs curled, crisped, and blackened in green fire. A stub of knife, its new-cut edge still glowing hot, dropped from a nerveless hand. Stunned brown eyes, streaming tears that sparkled with brilliant green highlights, stared up at him from either side of Deepa's blade.
"Stinking Jedi," Terrell sobbed. "Go on and kill me! Go on and kill everybody!"
"You're not safe out here," May said. He threw himself backward, and with a shove of the force, sent Terrell skidding toward the door of the bunker. Mace rolled to his feet, blades angled defensively before him, looking up at the looming turret gun of a steam crawler as it traversed to track him. Someone inside had decided it would be worth Terrell's life to take out Mace. Mace didn't much care for that kind of math. He had a different equation in mind. 4 steam crawlers divided by 1 Jedi equals a huge, smoking pile of scrap. The shatter points of the crawlers were obvious. Neither the linked treads nor the traverse gears that rotated the turrets would stand against a single swipe of a lightsaber. In less than a second apiece, he could turn these armored behemoths into nothing more than hollow metal rocks. But he didn't. Because that wouldn't hurt enough. He wanted to hurt them worse than this black migraine was hurting him. These people had attacked him when all he wanted was to help them. When he had been trying to save them. They had attacked him without regard for their own lives or the lives of their children. They'd almost made him kill one of their children himself. They were stupid. They were evil. They deserved to be punished. They deserved to die. He was already running toward the steam crawler, gathering himself for the headlong dive when he finally thought, "What am I doing?" He barely managed to turn his dive into a spring instead. He flipped upward through the air to land poised on the steam crawler's outer deck beside the flame gun turret. He let himself fall prone to the deck, using its bulk to cover him against blaster fire from the balawai on the ground, and his whole body sagged as he tried to pull his mind back out from the force. It was too dark here. Fatigue and pain rushed him, barreling him toward unconsciousness. Drawing upon the force to sustain himself drew in rage as well. He clung to the crawler's deck, pressing his face into the hot, bullet-scarred armor. Every second he could hold himself still was another second for some of these men and women to live. The axe came up from the jungle, climbing the steep, lava-cut sides of the outcrop, massive claws gouging furrows in the stone. 5, 8, 12 gigantic armored cowl spines bristling in full threat display. White foamy ropes of slaver looping from the corners of their dagger-toothed mouths. Heavily armed balawai fell back before them. The axe moved with the deliberate speed of creatures who have nothing to fear. When they reached the crown of the outcrop, they began to pace around the outpost perimeter, circling the shattered huts. Their pace became a trot, then a gallop, a ring of armored predator gradually tightening. Mace recognized axe herding behavior. As though the balawai were unruly grassers, the axe were forcing them into a single crowd in the central common area of the compound like a corral, working by pure intimidation. Mace felt the dark thunder rising in the forest, and he knew the compound hadn't become a corral. It had become a slaughter pen, a killing ground. And then he felt the shadow of the butcher. Mace looked upslope. There he was, standing on the rock above the bunker's door. A Corran. In the force, he burned with power. Huge. His sweat-glistening bare chest could have been fused together from granite boulders. His shaven skull gleamed more than 2 meters above his bare feet. His pants were crudely sewn from a vine cat's pelt. He raised arms like a skyscraper's buttresses over his head. To each forearm was strapped some kind of shield, elongated teardrops of a mirror-polished metal. Their wide curved ends extended around his massive fists, and they tapered to needle points, a handspan behind his elbows. Mace knew him now. This must be the Lor Pelic. This was Kar Vastar. His arms swept downward, and from beyond the ring of circling axe leaped 6 Corani, springing high as Jedi, but without Jedi grace. The force thrust that propelled them felt like a grunt of pain. They flailed as though they clawed their way through the air, but they landed coiled, balanced, crouched to attack. All 6 were dressed identically to Vastar, and each bore those twin teardrop shields that snarled like overdriven comm speakers. The Balawai met them with a storm of blaster fire. Bolts flashed and splattered and splintered upward into the clouds as the twin shields each man bore moved faster than thought. On the rock above, the Lor Pelic spread his corded arms, leaning out over the top, toppling as though he thought he could fly. Then, at the last instant, he sprang forward into a dive that carried him toward the center of the crowd of Balawai, where they massed around the steam crawlers. The Corani waded in without waiting for Vastar to land. They sprang among the mass of Balawai and swung those teardrop shields in short, vicious arcs, angled flat as though to cut with their edges. And cut they did. Their sizzling edges bit through blasters with tooth-grinding squeals. They slashed through flesh with a meaty squelch, and the blood on them shivered to mist. Scarlet clouds trailed them like smoke. Mace saw a man cut in half, and the shield came out his other side, still shining like an ultra-chrome mirror. Shining like a vibro-axe. Vastar touched down in the middle of the compound and rolled out of his fall without slowing. He flashed into an inhumanly fast sprint toward the very steam crawler atop which Mace lay. Vastar's sprint became a headlong dive that carried him sliding between the treads. The steam crawler's armor hummed under Mace's hands, and a harsher squeal joined the chorus of snarling shields. He had to bite back an obscenity he'd learned from Nick. Vastar was cutting through the crawler's undercarriage. Had he stolen that dark dream right out of Mace's head? Mace popped to his feet, and both his lightsabers hummed to life. He felt Vastar in the Force, a torch that flared with darkness. He was almost through the undercarriage. Once inside, he'd be loose among the wounded. Mace decided it was time he introduced himself to this Lor Pelic. He sprang into the air, flipping high over the steam crawler's turret to land on its flat mid-deck armor directly above Vastar. A vibro shield is not the only thing that can cut steam crawler armor. A disc of that armor, edges still glowing from the lightsaber's cuts, Mace still kneeling in its center, dropped straight down like a free-falling turbo lift. Mace heard one explosive obscenity from below, before he and the disc of armor flattened Kar Vastar like a fusion-powered pile driver. The interior of the steam crawler was crowded with wounded men and women. Vastar lay pinned, face down to the deck, half stunned. Mace leaned close to his ear. Kar Vastar, I am Mace Windu. Stand down. That's an order. A twitch of the Force was his only warning, but for Mace, it was more than he needed. He threw himself into a backflip a quarter of a second before the disc of armor slammed upward to smash against the ceiling with a deafening clank. Before it could fall again, Vastar was on his feet. Vastar faced Mace across the hole Vastar had cut in the undercarriage. Darkness pulsed at Mace through the Force, but on the Lor Pelic's face was not anger, but instead inhuman focus. a primal ferocity like a crate dragon surprised over the corpse of a bantha. He raised his shield-clad hands in salute and rumbled something in a language that Mace didn't recognize. It didn't even sound like language at all. More like the growls and snarls of jungle beasts. But as Vastr spoke, some power of the Lore Pelix unfurled his meaning inside Mace's mind.
Mace Windu. An honor. Why do you interfere in my kill?
There is no kill, Mace said. Do you understand me? No kill. No more killing.
Vastr's smile was disbelieving.
No? Then what do you propose? Shall we lay down our arms?
He beckoned invitingly with one sizzling shield.
You first.
No unnecessary killing, Mace amended. No more massacres.
Massacres are necessary, Doshalo.
You and I are not Doshalai.
Mace angled his lightsabers in a defensive X.
You are no clan brother of mine.
These will keep, Doshalo. They cannot escape. Follow me.
With a rush of the force, he sprang straight upward through the hole Mace had cut. That same rush of the force tugged at Mace's will, inclining him to follow without thinking. But he understood now the power of this place, and of Vastr himself.
You'll have to do better than that, Mace muttered.
He turned his attention to the terrified Balawai around him. He gestured, and all the discarded blasters flipped from the deck to hang in midair. With a single swift flourish, he sliced every one of them in half, then cast their pieces out the hole.
Listen to me, all of you. You must surrender. It is your only hope.
Hope of what? A man said bitterly. We know what happens if we're captured.
Not this time, May said. If you fight, they will kill you. If you surrender, I can keep you alive. And I will.
We're supposed to just take your word for it?
I'm a Jedi Master. The man spat blood on the deck.
We know what that's worth.
I won't argue.
Mace moved to the rim of the hole Vastr had cut, and looked up through the one he'd cut himself, judging his clearance.
Fight to a sure death, or surrender to a hope of life. The choice is yours, he said, and threw himself upward into the burning night.
The entire compound was on fire. Choking black smoke swirled above blazing lakes of flame projector fuel. Vastr bounded up the slope toward the bunker in erratic zigzagging leaps, his shields flashing, catching stray bolts, carving metal, slashing flesh. Mace dove from the top of the steam crawler, flipped in the air, and hit the ground running. His blades wove a green and purple corona of power that splintered blaster fire into the sky. Mace didn't trouble with the distraction that had made Vastr's path jag like a bolt of lightning. He went straight for the door's shattered gape, as though launched from a cannon. He reached it only steps behind the larger man, and froze. Froze despite the chilling whine of those teardrop shields, despite Vastr's rumbling snarl like the hunting cough of a hungry vinecat. Despite a sound Mace could no more ignore than he could reverse the rotation of the planet. The shrieks of children screaming in terror. Vastr stood within, hunched like a Gundark, his right arm drawn back to strike. Dangling from hair tangled in Vastr's left fist, feet kicking above the floor, sobbing uncontrollably about how all you stinking cornos have to die, was Terrell.
Vastr, stop!
Mace opened himself to the full flood of the Force and used it to hammer at the Lore Pelix will.
Don't do it, Carr. Put the boy down.
He might as well have not bothered. Vastr's answering snarl translated in Mace's mind as,
when I am done with him.
The shield strapped to Vastr's left arm made a mirrored halo over Terrell's head. But now, the other angled toward where Besh and Chalk lay.
Look there, and see what sort of creature I hold.
He's not some creature, Mace responded with reflexive certainty. He's a boy. His name is...
Mace's voice trailed away as his eyes finally made sense of what Vastr was pointing at.
Terrell.
Besh and Chalk lay on the stone floor midway between where Vaster stood holding Terrell and where Keela, Pell, and the two younger boys cowered. The clothing of the thanatazine-bound Coronai appeared inexplicably rumpled, even tattered, and over their torsos, it glistened a wet, oily black. A full second passed before Mace realized that it was the light from his blades that robbed color from the wet gleam on their clothes. He figured it out by the smell, strong, even through the reek of the burning compound outside. It was the smell of blood. Someone had been hacking, inexpertly, but with considerable enthusiasm, at the two helpless Coronai. They had lain down in this cold bunker floor and taken into their veins the drug that had swallowed them in a false death, trusting that a Jedi Master would watch over them to prevent a real one. On the floor below Terrell's dangling feet was a short stub of knife, smeared with the same dark blood. The blade was only half a decimeter long, its tip now a sharp, straight slant. Terrell's knife, the one Mace had sliced in half on the slope outside. Strength drained from Mace's knees.
"Oh, Terrell,"
he said, letting his lightsabers swallow their blades. "Terrell, what have you done?"
"Don't worry. He won't do it again."
Mace could only roar a futile denial as Vaster struck. The vibro shield sank deep into Terrell's body. And as the Lore Pellic ripped the life out of the boy, the blood fever told Mace what he should have done differently. He should have killed Carr Vaster. Mace drew back both lightsabers and whipped them forward and down with the full grim intention to carve Vaster into pieces so small it would take a bioscan to tell they'd ever been human. The Lore Pellic cast aside the boy's corpse with one flick of his massive wrist and whirled, shields flashing in the lightsaber glare as they flicked upward and met Mace's downward strokes. Mace used the force to drive the blades. He would cut through the shields, through both of Vaster's arms, slash deep into his chest to quench the blade's fire in Vaster's smoking heart. But the shields did not cut, and they did not give way. Their singing whine hummed into Mace's hands, up his arms, to shiver in his chest and buzz in his teeth. Then he was past, flipping over Vaster's head. He landed and whirled to face the Lore Pellic, his blades crossed in the defensive X.
"It will hurt deeper to find you dead. Stand down."
Mace ground his teeth together, panting harshly.
"Leave this place, Carr Vaster. I won't let you harm these children."
"I have no interest in them. I do not make war on children."
Mace's response was a grimly silent stare at Terrell's corpse.
"He was man enough to try to kill. He was man enough to die. What he did was not war, but attempted murder. What should I have done? Look around you, Doshalo. In this jungle, have you seen a jail?"
"If I had," Mace said through his teeth, "I would put you in it."
"But instead, you stand there, panting with hope and fear."
"Jedi do not fear," Mace told him. "Hope I left behind on Coruscant."
"You hope I will threaten the children. You fear I might not. You hope I will give you an excuse to kill me. You fear to simply act."
Mace stared. In his reflection on Vaster's humming shields, he saw himself as though he looked upon a shatter point in his own nature. What Vaster had said, it was true. It was all true. He burned with blood fever, ached to kill the Lore Pellic the same way that Vaster had killed Terrell, and for the same reason. In putting himself between Vaster and the children, he hadn't been seeking to defend innocent lives. He'd been seeking justifiable homicide. A perfectly Jedi murder. Like a face full of icy water, it shocked him from a dream. Now, for the first time, the flame-lit bunker looked real. He looked at Vaster with his own eyes, truly open for the first time. Vaster looked back intently. After a moment, the Lore Pellic relaxed with a sigh, lowering his weapons.
"You have decided to let me live,"
was the meaning of his wordless grumble.
For now.
Without another word, Vastra stalked out into the firelit night. Mace stood in the flickering dark, his only light the shine from his blades. After a time, his hands went numb on the hand grip's activation plates, and his blade shrank to nothingness.
Master Windu!
The voice was familiar, but it seemed to come from very far away, or perhaps it was only an echo of memory.
Master Windu!
He stood staring into an invisible distance until a strong hand took his arm.
Hey, Mace!
He sighed.
Nick, what do you want?
It's almost dawn. Gunships fly with the light. It won't take them long to get here. Time to saddle up.
His voice stopped, as though he choked on something.
Fragni, what did you... I mean, what did they... Who... How?
His voice ran down. Mace finally turned to face the young Corrin. Nick stared speechlessly down at the bloody messes that were Besh and Chalk. The thanatazine has slowed the hemorrhaging, Mace said softly. Someone who's good with a medpack's tissue binder might still be able to save their lives.
And are those children?
Apparently some Balawai don't leave them in the cities after all. Mace drifted toward the bunker's shattered doorway.
Hey, hold on! Where do you think you're going?
Parents of these children were out there. They may still be alive.
But Besh and Chalk,
Nick insisted.
What about Besh and Chalk? You can't just walk out of here and leave them.
They are in your care now. I could not protect them. Mace lowered his head as he walked away, and lowered his voice as well. I could not even protect myself.
But Mace! Master Windu!
Nick called after him.
Mace!
Mace stopped and looked back. Nick stood framed in the bunker's dark mouth, its twisted jags of durasteel surrounding him like teeth.
What about the kids? What am I supposed to do with them?
Pretend they are your own, Mace said, and turned away. The compound was full of armed Koronai, who were looting the scattered corpses with the same swift efficiency Mace had seen from Nick and Chalk and Besh and Lesh back in that Pelic Bar alleyway. The sky burned with dawn, as though the clouds had caught fire. The 12 acts now stood in a ring around a couple dozen shivering Balawai. The captives huddled together, holding each other, watching the gorillas, eyes empty of hope and blank with terror. Rankin was not among the captives, nor was the girl's mother. Mace knew neither had escaped. Vastar was nearby, growling and barking and snarling the Koronai into groups organized for the withdrawal. In his disconnected state, Mace felt no surprise to discover that he could not now understand the Lor Pelic. Vastar's voice had become jungle noise, freighted with meaning, but indecipherable, inhuman, impersonal, lethal. Mace put out a hand to stop Vastar as the Lor Pelic swept by him.
What will you do with the captives?
Vastar rumbled wordlessly in his throat, and now again his meaning unfurled in Mace's mind.
They come with us. You can take care of prisoners.
We don't take care of them. We give them to the jungle.
The Tan Peltrokal, Mace murmured. Jungle justice. Vastar nodded as he turned to move on.
It is our way.
Is that different from murder?
Though Mace was looking at Vastar, he sounded like he was asking himself.
Can any of them survive? Cast out alone? Without supplies? Without weapons?
The Lor Pelic gave Mace a predator's grin over his shoulder, showing his needle-sharp teeth.
I did,
he growled, and walked away.
And the children?
But Mace was talking to the Lor Pelic's departing back. Vastar was already snapping at three or four ragged young Koronai. Mace thought about the dark. The Jedi metaphor of the dark side of the Force had never seemed so appropriate before. Less the dark of evil than the dark of a starless night, where what you think is a vine cat is only a bush, and what appears to be a tree may very well be a killer standing motionless, waiting for you to look away. Mace had read Temple Archive accounts written by Jedi who had brushed the dark and recovered.
These accounts often mentioned how the dark side seems to make everything clear. Mace knew now that this was only a delusion, a lie. The truth was exactly opposite. There was so much dark here, he might as well be blind. Morning sun struck the compound and brought gunships with it. Six of them, a double flight, roaring straight in from the stinging glare of Al-Har as it cleared the mountains. Their formation blossomed into a rosette as they peeled off to angle for staggered crisscrossing strafing runs. Mace still didn't move. Might as well be blind, he thought. And perhaps he also said it aloud. For the voice that spoke from behind him seemed to be answering. The wisest man I know once told me, it is in the darkest night that the light we are shines brightest. A woman's voice, cracking with exhaustion and hoarse with old pain. And perhaps it was only this voice that could have kindled a torch in Mace's vast darkness. Only this voice that could have brought Mace to his feet, turning, hope blooming inside his head, almost happy, almost even smiling. He turned, his arms opening, his breath catching, and all he could say was, "Deepa!" But she did not come to his embrace, and the hope inside him sputtered and died. His arms fell to his sides. Even prepared by what Nick had told him, he was not remotely ready for this. Jedi Master Deepa Bilaba stood before him in the tattered remnants of Jedi robes, stained with mud and blood and jungle sap. Her face was pale and lined with fatigue, and had gone so thin her cheekbones stood out like blades. Her mouth seemed lipless and hard, and bore a fresh burn scar from one corner to the tip of her chin. But these were not the worst of it. None of these were what kept Mace motionless, as though nailed to the ground. Even as gunships swept overhead and rained blaster fire on the compound around them. In the inferno of explosions, amidst the whine of rock splinters and the hammering webwork of particle beams, Mace could only stare at Deepa's forehead, where she had once worn the shining golden bead of the Mark of Illumination, the symbol of a Chalactan adept. The Mark of Illumination is affixed to the frontal bone of an adept's skull by the elders of that ancient religion as a symbol of the unclosable eye that is the highest expression of the Chalactan enlightenment. Deepa had worn hers with pride for 20 years. Now, where the mark had been was only an ugly ripple of keloid scar, as though the same knife that had slashed away her hair had crudely hacked the symbol of her ancestral religion from the bone of her skull. And across her eyes, she wore a strip of rag tied like a blindfold, a rag as weathered and stained and ragged as her robes themselves. "Hello, Mace," she said sadly. "You shouldn't have come."
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
I finally understand what I'm doing here, why I came. I understand the hypocrisy of that list of reasons I offered to Yoda and to Palpatine in the Chancellor's office those weeks ago. I was lying to them, and to myself. I must have seen the real reason I came here in the first instant I turned to her in the compound, in the pain-etched creases below her cheekbones, in the scar where the mark of enlightenment had been. Yes. It wasn't really her. It was a Force vision, a hallucination, a lie. But even a lie of the Force is more true than any reality our limited minds can comprehend. I didn't come here to learn what has happened to Deepa, nor to protect the reputation of our order. I did not come to fight this war. I don't care who wins, because no one wins, not in a real war. It is only a question of how much each side is willing to lose. I did not come here to apprehend or kill a rogue Jedi, or even to judge one. I didn't come here to stop Deepa. I came here to save her. I will save her. And may the Force have mercy on any who would try to stop me, for I will have none.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
I don't remember leaving the compound. I suppose I must have been in some kind of shock. Kar Vastor. I have much to say of this Lor Pelic, of the powers I have seen him wield. From the drawing of the fever wasps out of Besh and Chalk, to the way the jungle itself seems to part for his passage and tangle itself behind. Of his followers, those 6 Koranai he calls the Ak Guards, men he's made into lesser echoes of himself. How he has trained them in their signature weapons, those terrifying vibro shields that he had created. Even the smallest details, the primal ferocity of his gaze, the jungle noise growl of his wordless voice, and how you hear his meaning as though it is your own voice whispering inside your head, deserve more depth of comment than I can give them here. I'm not sure why it took me so long to understand that he and I are natural enemies.
The Lor Pelic stood on the slope below Mace, holding the reins of a saddled grasser.
Jedi Windu, you are sent for Dor Shallow.
Mace did not need to ask by whom. Where is she?
An hour's ride ahead, resting in her howdah. She no longer walks.
Mace felt dizzy. The world shifted focus as though he looked at its reflection in a rippling pool.
An hour? No longer walks?
It made no sense, but in the Force, it felt like the truth.
She was here. She was just here.
No.
But she was... She greeted me and...
Mace passed a hand over his skull, checking for blood or swelling, searching for a head wound.
She was with me.
Mace stared at the traces of Portak amber that stained his palms.
It is Belekortan, you recall.
The Force?
You're saying it was some kind of Force vision?
Belekortan brings us waking dreams of our desires and our fears.
It seemed so real. It seemed more real than you do.
Faster shrugged.
It was. Only Belekortan is real. Everything else is forms and shadows, less even than a cloud or a memory. We are Belekortan's dream. Have the Jedi forgotten this as well?
A dream, Mace heard himself murmur. A dream. Vastor gestured for him to mount up.
Dream she may be, but refuse her summons, and you will learn how swiftly dream turns to nightmare.
Mace climbed into the saddle without telling the Lor Pelic that he already knew.
And you, Kar Vastor, what visions does Pelekotan bring to you?
His response was a limitless stare, inhuman, as full of unguessable danger as the jungle itself.
Why should Pelekotan show me anything? I have no fears.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
Kar Vastor led my grasser on foot. He was able to find a path through the densest, most tangled undergrowth so effortlessly that we could move at a steady trot. After a time, I began to believe, as I now do, that his ability to move through the jungle was only half perception. The other half was raw power. In that ride from the rear to the front of the gorilla's line of march, I got my first view of the fabled Upland Liberation Force, the ULF, terror of the jungle, mortal enemy of the militia, ruthless, unstoppable warriors who had driven the Confederacy of Independent Systems off this planet. They were barely alive. Their march was a ragged column of walking wounded, tracking each other through the jungle by splashes of blood and rich stink of infection. They were heading for their base in the mountains, where they had gathered nearly all that was left of the Koran people, all their elders and their invalids, their children, and what was left of their herds. Gunships circled like vultures over the jungle. They harassed us constantly, often firing down at random through the jungle canopy, or sweeping overhead to set vast swaths of fire with their sunfire flame projectors. The gorillas barely seemed to notice,
They slogged along, those who would walk, with heads down, as though they had already accepted that sooner or later, one of those carpets of flame would fall upon them all.
There were 28, all told. 2 dozen jungle prospectors and the 4 surviving children. The Jups were left to stagger along, supporting each other as best they could, dragging those who could not walk on smaller versions of the travois hauled by the grassers. They were watched only by a pair of Vaster's Ack guards and 6 of their fierce Ack dogs. As Vaster led Mace past, he explained that the guards and dogs were there only to make sure the Balawipe did not steal weapons or supplies from wounded Koronai, or otherwise attack their captors. The guards didn't need rifles. Any prisoner who wished to escape into the jungle was welcome to. That is, after all, what was going to happen to them anyway. Stripped of everything but their clothing and boots, they would be turned loose in the jungle, left to make their way to whatever safety they might be able to find. Tan Peltrokal, Jungle Justice. A few paces beyond, where the Balawai prisoners stumbled along the jungle floor, Mace Windu reached past the grasser's nose and took its reins in one hand.
This is far enough. Leave me here.
Vaster stopped, looking back over his massive shoulder.
Deepa awaits.
She's waited for weeks. She'll wait a few hours more.
For the first time since the battle at the Notch Pass, Mace felt calm.
Go on without me. I will attend her when I choose.
You are sent for. She is not to be defied.
Vaster turned and tugged on the reins, but Mace had them in his fist, and they might as well have been bolted to a cliff.
You will regret this.
I am a Jedi Master and a senior member of the Jedi Council, Mace said patiently. I am a general of the Grand Army of the Republic. I am not to be sent for. If she wants to see me, she will find me at the Steamcrawler track before dusk.
I have said I will deliver you.
Mace matched his stare exactly.
Funny, that's almost what Nick said. He didn't have much luck with it either.
My orders
are your problem.
Mace let the reins fall and spread his open hands.
Unless you choose to make them our problem. You can do that right now if you like.
You will come with me.
No.
Dark power clutched at Mace's will.
You will come with me.
Slowly, reluctantly, Mace slid himself out of the saddle and slipped to the ground. He took 2 steps toward Vaster and stopped.
I no longer enjoy your company, said the Jedi Master. Go now. Do not return to me without Deepa.
Vaster's eyes widened. His mouth worked soundlessly.
You and I should not be alone together.
Tendons stood out in Vaster's neck, winching his head downward and pulling his lips away from his sharp, filed teeth.
I do not wish to fight you, Doshalo. Deepa will be angry to find you dead.
Then you'd best be on your way.
Mace replied reasonably.
Don't want to make Deepa angry, do you?
And what should I tell her you are doing here?
Nothing that I can be bothered to explain to you.
Mace turned back to his grasser and took its reins once more.
Any questions Deepa might have, she should ask me herself.
With one last glare that Mace could feel as though a lens focused sunlight on his skin, Vaster whirled away and plunged into the jungle, loping up the line of march. Mace watched him go, bleak satisfaction on his face. He thought, so much for being the welcome guest. Mace caught Nick Rostu's eye and beckoned. Nick turned the children's grasser over to one of the Balawai and trotted over to the Jedi Master, keeping one eye turned toward the departing Ack guard.
Here, hold him. Mace handed the grasser's reins to Nick. We have a move to make. Mount up. You're going to lead these prisoners to the Steamcrawler track so that the militia can find them and pick them up.
Nick's mouth dropped open.
We? Me? Why would I want to do something like that?
Because I gave them the word of a Jedi Master that if they surrendered, I would keep them from harm.
I will not be made a liar.
What's your word got to do with me?
Nothing at all, Mace said. I'm sure you enjoy thinking about Keela being disemboweled by a vine cat. When you think of Pell, do you see her starving to death in a grip leaf net, or having her eyes pecked out by jacunas? Nick looked sick.
Hey, easy with that tusker poop, huh?
You think the boys will be gored by tuskers or shredded by brass vines? Or maybe they'll get lucky and fall into a death hollow. At least that is relatively swift, as their lungs are eaten by caustic fumes and their own tears scald their faces like acid. The young Corin turned away.
You have any idea what Karin Deepa will do to me?
You've been over the ground in this region. If I lead them myself, I'll end up losing us all in the jungle. Mount up, right now. Nick mounted up. Kaa Vastar, the Jedi Master said, looking again into the jungle, this time up the line of march where the Lor Pellic had vanished, is not the most dangerous man in the Coronal Highland. Nick shook his head.
You only say that because you don't really know him.
I say that, replied Mace Windu, because he doesn't know me. The prisoners limped along in ragged knots, holding each other up and nervously eyeing the pacing Ak-Dogs. Mace forced his way through the tangled undergrowth toward them, Nick close behind on the grasser.
Am I missing something here?
Nick leaned over to speak softly, one arm bent across the back of the grasser's thick neck.
Last night, these Ruskaks were trying to carve off a hunk of roast Windu.
This Tan Peltrakal. Mace's voice was equally low and far more grim. You approve of it?
Sure.
Nick glanced at the grasser that the children rode and swiftly looked away.
Well, in principle, anyway.
His vivid eyes went narrow and cynical. At least they got a chance. How many survive?
Some.
Half? A quarter? One in 100?
How should I know?
Nick shrugged.
Does it make a difference?
Mace Windu said. Not to me. Nick closed his eyes and leaned his head against the grasser's ear, as though exhausted or in pain.
You've gone bats, haven't you? He said. You're completely insane.
Mace stopped. A twitch of frown drew a vertical crease between his eyebrows. No, just the opposite, in fact.
What's that supposed to mean?
But Mace was already walking away. Nick muttered a curse on all fraggin' Jedi who use nickel nuts for brains, then goaded the grasser along after him. When the prisoners saw them coming, a man's voice said,
It's the Jedi. No, the other one. The real Jedi.
Mace chose not to ask what he meant by the real Jedi. Some few of the prisoners clustered toward him, straightening their clothing and forcing their faces into expressions of hope. Most just stopped where they were, swaying with exhaustion or stumbling against the great gray trees. A few tens of meters downslope, the two Ak guards stared up at Mace with undisguised hostility. Two of the six Ak dogs on prisoner duty slouched sullenly nearby. The children's grasser was led by a man that Mace recognized as Erno and Nykel's father. He dropped the reins and threw himself on the ground at Mace's feet.
Please, please, your honor, your highness,
he sobbed, face down into the jungle floor.
Please don't let them kill my boys. Do what you want with me. I deserve it, I know. I'm sorry for what I've done, but my boys...
Stand up, Mace said sternly. Jedi are not to be knelt to. We are not your masters, but your servants. Stand up. Slowly, the astonished man pulled himself to his feet.
Your honor?
Call me Master Windu. Mace swept past him and opened his arms, beckoning to all the prisoners. Gather round. I'll need you all to stick closer together. I'm going to send you back to the city. You're going home, all of you. Nick muttered.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
I never do.
You don't think Kaa and those Ak guards down there are going to have something to say about it?
I'm aware of their opinion already. I have my own.
The Tan Peltrakow,
Nick said. Means nothing to me, Mace said. I don't care about jungle justice. I care about Jedi justice. And I will see it done.
Jedi justice, my weeping saddle sores. You still don't get it, do you? Jedi anything doesn't mean squat out here.
I understand the rules now. You read them to me yourself. Then Carvasta taught me what they mean. Now I can start to play.
That's just it, Nick insisted. You're in the jungle now. There are no rules.
Of course there are. Don't be an idiot. Nick blinked.
You're kidding, right? You're making a joke.
Stay here and watch, Mace told him, working his way down toward the Ackguards. Then tell me what you think of my sense of humor. One of the guards moved to block the Jedi Master's path.
We're going, Windu Jedi.
Mace had to tilt his head back to meet the Corran stare. I don't know your name.
You can call me...
I didn't ask your name, Mace cut him off. I just don't know it. I don't need to. You should get out of my way. The guard's eyes looked scalded and more than slightly crazed.
Out of your way, little Jedi.
I am taking the prisoners to the steamcrawler track. Mace nodded in that general direction. I can go past you, or I can go over you. You pick.
Over me? Can fly you?
The vibro shield strapped to his forearm snarled to life.
Draw your toy weapon, little Jedi. Go ahead.
Draw! My lightsaber? Why should I? Mace raised a finger to tap his own forehead. This is the only weapon I need.
Yeah? What? Think me to death, you gonna?
You misunderstand. By way of explanation, he splattered the Corran's nose with a sharp headbutt. Mace stepped back to let the semi-conscious man collapse. The other guard snarled and lunged at Mace's back, only to find himself facing the business end of a sizzling purple lightsaber. He's alive, Mace said calmly. So are you. For now, the next one of you pathetic cretins who raises a hand to me will die for it. Do you understand? The Corran only stared at him with murder on his face.
Answer me, Mace roared.
With a convulsive snarl, he threw his lightsaber on the ground at the Corran's feet. Faster than the eye could follow, his hand flashed out, his thumb hooking the Corran's cheek while his fingers dug in behind the hinge of the man's jaw.
Do you understand me?
The astonished Corran could only blink and mumble and try to shake his head. Mace released the man's face with a contemptuous shove that sent the guard stumbling backwards. Mace opened his empty hand, and his lightsaber flipped up from the ground and smacked into his palm. He tucked it back into the holster inside his vest.
Never get in my way. His voice was again icily calm. Ever.
Icy rain splashed down through the canopy, and thunder rolled like turbojets of gunships passing overhead. Mace walked a few paces behind Nick's bedraggled grasser. Every once in a while, a hunk or two of the hail that the thunderhead above spat down would bounce its way all the way through the layers of leaf and branch and vine and give someone a knock. By the time they reached ground level, most of these hailstones had melted down to about half the size of Mace's fist. Too small to be dangerous, though still large enough to raise stinging welts on his head. The Balawai prisoners gathered ones that fell nearby, sucking on them to melt them in their mouths. In the Force, Mace felt the hot, fierce sting of an approaching Ackdog. A moment later, he felt a nudge on his right shoulder blade. He reached up to tug on Nick's ankle.
Keep them going,
he said, raising his voice over the hiss of the rain.
I'll be right back.
A few steps off their line of march, a man's shadow began to take shape through the rain-blurred gloom. Mace walked toward it, weaving between trees and moving vines aside with a gesture, to find the bruised Ackguard heading for him carrying one of the Balawai.
Fell out, this one. Think he's fevered me.
The guard set the Balawai on his feet.
Better keep someone with him, you.
Mace nodded as he looped the man's good arm over his shoulders.
Thank you.
I'll look after him. The guard frowned down at them.
Gonna kill you for this, Karis. Know that you?
I appreciate your concern.
No concern. Just telling, that's all.
Thank you. The guard frowned a moment longer, then gave an elaborate shrug before he turned away and faded once more into the gloom. Mace thoughtfully watched him go. The two ACK guards hadn't been hard to co-opt. While Nick wrangled the Balawai into something resembling marching order, Mace had worked his way back upslope to where one stood watching him, while the one he'd knocked down still sat on the ground, massaging his broken nose. Mace squatted beside him.
How's your face? He'd asked gravely.
The guard's voice was half muffled by his hands.
Why care you?
It's no dishonor to lose to a Jedi, Mace had said. Here, let me see.
When the astonished ACK guard took his hands away from his face, Mace put his hands to either side of the man's nose and popped the bone straight with one brisk twisting squeeze. The sudden sharp pain made the Corran gasp, but it was over so quickly, he didn't even have time to yelp. After that, he could only blink in wonder.
Hey, feels better that. How'd you?
Sorry I lost my temper, Mace said, standing to include the other ACK guard. But I can't back down from a challenge. You understand.
The two Corrins exchanged a glance, and they both nodded reluctantly, as Mace had known they would.
I think you're both solid, Mace went on. Strong fighters. That's why I went at you so hard. You're too dangerous for me to play games with.
The Corran with the broken nose had said in a tone of generous concession,
Got a stone sweet head about you.
Now the other ACK could not resist chiming in.
And that grab on my face was a Jedi thing that? Never seen it before me. Maybe teach me you.
Mace had no more time for pleasantries.
Listen, I know taking the prisoners will cause trouble with Carr, and I know you'll be in trouble for letting them go with me. Why don't you stay with us? Bring your dogs. Keep the Balawai in line, and don't let any of them get lost. It's not like Carr won't know where we're going. I told him myself. And if you're along, he won't have any trouble finding us. You can feel each other in Pelikotan, right?
Again, they had exchanged glances, and again they had nodded.
If Carr wants these prisoners, he can take them from me himself. How can he blame you for losing if he's afraid to step up?
To a dark-soaked Corran, this was undeniable logic. And so Mace Windu had acquired a pair of Corran shepherds for his flock of Balawai. Mace had cemented Nick's assistance with a similar technique. As they were about to turn aside from the ULF column, Mace had stood thoughtfully alongside Nick's grasser.
Nick, I'm going to need an aide.
An aide? What for?
Like you said when you picked me up in Pelic Baw. I'm not from around here. I need someone who can look after me, give me advice, that kind of thing.
You want advice? Flush the frag in Balawai and shag your Jedi butt back up the column. Make some kissy face with Carr and Deepa before they chop you into sausage. Any other advice you want, feel free to ask.
That's what I'm doing.
Huh?
I need someone who knows his way around out here. Someone I can trust. Nick snorted.
Good fraggin' luck. I wouldn't trust anyone out here.
I don't, Mace told him. Except you.
Me?
You're the only trustworthy man I've met in Harun Call, Mace had said solidly.
Ooh, fraggin' Ray. Look where it's gotten me.
It's gotten you, Mace said. A chance to join the personal staff of a general of the Grand Army of the Republic.
Yeah?
Nick began to look interested.
What's it pay?
Nothing, Mace admitted,
and Nick's face fell, but the Jedi Master went on.
Though when I leave this planet, I'll be taking my staff with me.
Nick's eyes recovered a little spark.
With a brevet rank of, let's say, Major, and once we get to Coruscant, I'll be needing staff instructors to train officers in guerrilla tactics. A few months as an urban and jungle warfare consultant affiliated with the Jedi Temple
should make you pretty attractive to all those mercenary captains out there. You might even get your own company. Isn't that what you want?
You bet you're sweet. Yeah, I mean, no, sir. General. Major Rostu at the General's service. Sir.
At ease, Major, Mace had said as he finally returned the young Corran's salute. Move them out. They broke out of the trees on a small promontory that ended in a sheer cliff. Jungle swarmed its base 100 meters below. They had been sidestepping down a long switchback, heading for the canyon floor. The thunderstorm swept to their rear as Mace and Nick broke out from the trees, and in the near distance, through the canyon's mouth ahead, only a click away, glowing now with afternoon sun blazing red slanted from a crystal sky, lay the broad curve of the steam crawler track.
There it is, Nick said. His voice was low and grim. Pretty, ain't it?
Yes, pretty. May stepped around the grasser. Pity we didn't make it. Any Force-sensitive could have felt the menace that lay across their path. To Mace, it felt like an arc of forest fire ripping through the trees. Nick nodded. He unslung his rifle, checked the clip, and cocked it. Just couldn't move fast enough. The Ack guard with the broken nose came out of the trees. The six dogs and the other guard were fanned out behind the prisoners.
Hard luck, huh? Told you Carr would come me.
Yes. Mace folded his arms. He turned to the Ack guard. You can go to him if you like.
Maybe we'll us.
The Corran had recovered some of his former swagger.
Not going nowhere, you, huh?
It seems not. Knots of exhausted Balawai untied themselves and frayed to pieces to let the departing Ack guard through. Nick fingered his rifle.
Think they'll really go down there to Carr?
Not at all, Mace said crisply. They'll move up the switchback to cut off our retreat.
Don't much like the sound of that. What's our move?
You tell me, Major. Nick blinked.
I can't believe you're asking me.
What I'm asking you, May said, is not what we're going to do, but what we should do. Let me put it another way. What does Carr think we'll do?
Well,
Nick looked back up the trail, then forward down toward the mouth of the canyon and the steam crawler track.
We should split up. If the prisoners scatter, some might slip through while Carr's rounding up the rest.
Exactly. Mace pointed at the boy's father. You, get the others out of the trees. I want all of you on this rock, on your knees, with your hands behind your heads. The Balaw gaped.
Are you crazy?
Mace folded his arms across his chest. Anyone who doesn't want to do what I say is welcome to take their chances with the jungle and the ULF. The man turned away, shaking his head.
What are we going to do?
Nick asked. Something else.
You know, if you hadn't told Carr about going to the steam crawler track, he wouldn't be down there right now.
Yes, he would have overtaken us in the jungle and we wouldn't have had a chance.
Wait, I get it.
Understanding dawned on Nick's face.
You were expecting this.
Mace nodded. Nick looked impressed.
Carr's not an easy man to lie to.
Mace gave him a sidelong look. Who lied? I told him that he and Deepa would be able to find me at the steam crawler track this afternoon. The lie is in what he assumed I meant. Not in what I said.
And you had me lead because you figured he'd be able to guess what route I'd take. And you brought the Ack guards along so that he'd be able to track us.
Mace nodded.
But why?
To get us all in a place just like this. Here, I'm sure he thinks he has everyone boxed.
And he does.
So he's in no hurry to come and collect us. Now, what's the steam crawler track good for, in view of our purpose? It's a broad open area where any passing gunship will spot these people, and it's clear enough to use as a landing zone.
Yeah?
So how much good does it do him to cut us off from an open area? Mace reached inside his vest and pulled out the lightsabers. He tossed Deepa's to Nick, who caught it reflexively. When all we need is a little time, and we can make one of our own.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
It took only minutes to clear a landing zone. I had used the force to pile some of the smaller trees, intending to kindle their damp wood with my blade to make a huge smoking bonfire. But I didn't have to. Before we had even cleared the zone, three flights of gunships swarmed overhead. They didn't seem to have much difficulty understanding the situation. 28 kneeling Balawai, with fingers laced together behind their necks, must have made matters clear enough. We had barely begun cutting when we had both felt Vaster's forces drawing tight around us, a living noose. As Nick would say, it was time to saddle up. But before we left, I crouched beside the father of Erno and Nykel. I want you to take a message to Colonel Gepton. He looked dazed and his words slurred with exhaustion. Gepton? The security chief in Peleg Baw? How am I supposed to get in to see him? He'll debrief you personally, I said. He will. Tell him the Jedi Master has handled his Jedi problem. Tell him that if he disarms his irregulars and withdraws the militia from the Highland, this war is over. He has my word on it. I rose and stood over him so that my shadow fell across his face. Tell him that if he does not do as I suggest, he'll be the problem, and I will solve him. I led Nick off into the jungle without waiting for a reply.
Night was falling, and the sun slanted low through the canyon mouth. Navigating was easy. They loped through the thickening twilight, heading directly toward where the force showed Mace maximum threat.
So you've handled the malicious Jedi problem, have you?
Nick muttered as they jogged under the trees.
That'll come as a surprise to Carr and Deepa, I'm guessing.
I'm not interested in Carr, Mace said. I'm only interested in Deepa. Where's the nearest subspace comm? Nick shrugged.
The Lorshan Pass Caverns? That's our base. It's only a couple days away. If we can ever lose the fraggin' gunships. Why?
Less than a day after you get me subspace comm, Deepa and I will be leaving this planet. I am willing to waste no more time. I need subspace to call for extraction.
Fury chuffed into the force like the steam from their nostrils. Moving out of the gloom-haunted trees came all six of the Ack Guards. They wore their vibro-shields pushed up over their biceps, freeing their hands for the assault rifles and grenade launchers they carried. The force hummed with anger, as though every one of them resonated on a single harmonic. May said,
I think Carr might be a little upset about those prisoners after all.
Nick stood with his back against Mace's, where once Deepa would have been. Where Deepa should have been. Where, in any sane